Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Got a message here that I actually did a version of it the very first Palm Sunday that I was here at this church in 2004. And I've thought about it a few times. I just like the picture in here, but I had just never felt like it was the time. For some reason, I just felt like this was the time and everything kind of fell together. So I hope this will be a blessing to you. Matthew chapter 21, we're talking about what they call the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ. Verse number 1 in Matthew chapter 21, the real triumphal entry will occur when he comes back the second time. Now many times we think about the second coming of Christ, we think about the rapture. Well, that kind of kicks everything off. He pulls the church up out of here. We will be gone. If you know Christ as your Savior, we will be gone. The Holy Spirit dwells in, we're the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, we're the temple of the Spirit. We will be gone, and that kind of lets Satan have realm and his way here, and of course, God's been warning us all along that we need to get ourselves straightened out, make sure we're right with him, but we know, and we all know there's going to come with things are going to wax worse and worse, and Lord's going to have his day. But before he has his day, he's going to kind of let Satan have his day on us. We'll be out of here, but the rapture comes, and there's a 7 years tribulation, okay, and then the Lord comes back. Everybody's going to be everything's going to be in a riot. There's going to be people coming from this part of the world, this part of the world. They're coming to a head there. We're going to have the battle of Armageddon, and the Lord's going to come mighty, truth strapped to his thigh there, so to speak. He's going to come. He's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. But he's going to come through, and the Bible says that he's going to come down the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem area, come down the Mount of Olives and go through the Eastern Gate. Now, the Eastern Gate right now is sealed up. You can't get into the Eastern Gate. That's not going to stop him when it's time to come. He said you can do everything you can, any kind of futile effort to try to keep the Lord from having his way. But the fact is, you can close up that gate and stop it up with everything you have, put tanks there. The Lord's coming through the gate. When we have this time here, the Bible says, actually Jesus said, they said, when are you going to set up your kingdom? And he said, well, the fact is, if you would have accepted John the Baptist as the Elijah to come, well, you know, that would have been fine. And so you're going to see this picture here, but we all know that he needed to come to save us first, so that we're willing to accept him as our sovereign. And so in chapter 21, we see what they call the triumphal entry. This is when Jesus comes into Jerusalem, begins that what some people call the Holy Week. And the fact is, they're waving palms and they're singing songs and having a great time and calling him Hosanna, Son of David. And yet, within a few days, they're going to turn their back on him and crucify him. But this is where we are. Now, the picture is a wonderful picture, and I hope you'll kind of hang tight with me here. And this is kind of a sweet little thing. I'm going to go as fast as I can, but I want you to see the story. We are going to spend some time around the Lord's Supper here before we leave this morning. So Matthew chapter 21, verse number 1, says this. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway or immediately ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. So he has this, he's going to go in, he's going to walk in, there's going to be a donkey there, and a colt, which is a fairly newborn, not brand newborn, we're going to find out because Jesus is going to ride the colt, but a fairly young colt tied there with the donkey. It says, loose them, bring them unto me. Verse 3, and if any man say aught unto you, if he says anything to you about it, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. Look at this verse 4. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, the Old Testament prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, Zion's another name for Jerusalem, the city of God. But also as a picture of heaven, which will be the city of God, the New Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put them on their and put on them their clothes. And they set him upon them thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into the Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Let's have a word of prayer. And my topic this morning is ride the colt. Ride the colt. You'll see what I'm saying here in a few minutes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the salvation we have in you. I thank you that you are willing to leave all the accolades of heaven, the praises of the angels, the presence of your Father, your rightful place at his right side, to come down here, to give your life, to suffer, to die, to be beaten, crucified, mocked, so that we could have eternal life. You died and you rose again, proving all our sins were paid for. What a humbling thought that the Creator of the universe, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, would look on our case, our estate, and see our low estate, and yet come and die for us. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to understand this little picture you put, a beautiful little picture you tucked in this passage. May we go home all the more assured of your love for us and the surety of our salvation in you. So, Lord, we're going to ask for your Holy Spirit, and we'll give you the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. Before I begin, let me say this. This account also occurs in Mark chapter 11, verse 1 through 11. And in that particular account, it talks about how he's near Bethany. We'll talk about that in a moment. It also talks about how he finds the donkey and the colt at a place where two ways meet. Two ways meet. In Luke chapter 19, verses 29 through 38, it talks about his descent. He comes down the descent from the Mount of Olives when they hail him as king, which is a beautiful picture of what he will do one of these days. He comes back as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings and not the suffering servant. All these pictures I'm going to show you didn't happen by accident. This once again proves that the author is divine. Most people who say that the Bible is just written by men, there's really nothing there, just a bunch of stories, and they're not true. You didn't study the Bible. Matthew 21:4 says that, and we just read it here, that all this was written to fulfill which was spoken by the prophet. Every word in the Bible was put there on purpose, every jot and tittle. And this is done to imply, this is God often uses several words to label the same thing. First, in our passages here, he talks about Jerusalem. Then he's going to call it Mount Zion. And other places in the Bible talks about being the city of God. He does this to imply what he's trying to get across to us. For instance, if I said I was going to a place called Hell, Michigan, which there is such a place, certain thoughts would come in to your mind. And if somebody was telling the story and they kind of used the name of that town, you know, certain things would come to your mind. Suppose I said I was going to write a novel, and a novel about our local area, and within the context of that novel, I talked about the city of the White Rose. What city would I be talking about? York. And if I mentioned talk about the city of the Red Rose, I'd be talking about Lancaster. That's just the way it is. That's just one of those things. Now, see, we know that. And you go down through the city, you'll see the White Rose this and the White Rose that and so forth. And, of course, that all has to do with, you know, the York, the lineage of the York and the Lancaster lineage coming over from the old country. And so they've kind of carried that over. So there's a thought there. The words and the names and so forth in the Bible, most times, are there for a reason. God knew exactly what he was doing when he created the earth and when things happened and they named cities and so forth. And God's got some things he wants us to see. So I want you to just kind of be patient with me here. So the same type of thing happens in the writings of God's word. We do not speak the language that the Lord Jesus spoke, but the people at the time did. And so when they put these things together, it began to focus and make sense to them. And there's so much detail the Lord puts into this place that chances of it being by accident pretty well non-existent. Now, I'm going to read some scripture with you, but the fact is, you're going to have to take my word for it, but you can go back and read it. I'm going to kind of make a composite of Matthew, Mark, and Luke on this account, but I think you'll see where we are. First thing I want you to know is Jesus is going to the city of God. He said that they drew nigh unto Jerusalem. Now I think most people will one day want to go to the city of God. You would think that everybody would want to go to the city of God, but for some reason, some folks. But it says here, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem, when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, Jerusalem means, you know, first you always you hear about Jewish people greeting with the term shalom. Okay, shalom is another form of the word salom, solem. Jerusalem means the city of peace. One of these days, we're going to go to New Jerusalem. And all the uproar in our hearts and all our lives and everything's going to be gone because we're going to be in the city of peace. Where God is, there's peace. It's the city of peace, a place where peace and safety flows. It's a place of restitution and restoration, even a place of reward. This is the city of God, Mount Zion. And Jesus will rule and reign from the throne of David in Jerusalem one of these days. So he comes in. So this trip to Jerusalem is kind of a precursor to the triumphal entry of Jesus at his second coming. He says, when they came nigh to Jerusalem, then it says, unto Bethphage. Now, you ever see the little phrase, prefix Beth, B-E-T-H, that means house. House. Bethphage means a house of figs. Now, you're going to have to take my word on some of these things. You go back and study, I have no problem. You go back and study out, you'll find them true. The house of figs. Figs in the Bible is often used for the people of Israel, the Jews. So you could say that he was Bethphage. This was the house of figs or the house of Israel. And then in the other passage there, I believe it is in Mark, it talks about near Bethany. Bethany, there's Beth. Bethany means the house of dates. Now that doesn't mean the one you're going to go out with on Friday night. It means the kind you eat. The house of dates, figs and dates. Figs represent Christ and the Jews. The dates represent the Gentiles. You go back and study it, but it's all in there. We'd be here forever. You know how I am. We'd be here forever, so I'm trying to do that. So we have the figs and we have the dates. So it says he's coming down. He's going to come down to Mount of Olives to the city of God. But wait a minute. He's coming through the house of figs, through the house of Israel. But he's also coming through the house of the Gentiles. All these people are included in the trip to the city of God. You follow what I'm saying? And then it says, he says, unto Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives, the olives represent the church. They represent the church, the people who know Christ as Savior when he comes. Now, the Bible says, by Abraham all the world shall be blessed. Remember John 4, 22, he told the woman at the well, he says, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. So what we've got is Jesus is coming. He's our salvation, and he's going to come down from through the church, but also through the house of the Jews and through the house of the Gentiles. They don't spend a lot of time on that because a lot of pictures. My point is here, it applies to everybody, okay? The story applies to everything, everybody. And then it says, he sended forth two disciples and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you. As soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find an ass tied and a colt tied with her. Now notice, watch this. Jesus is going to make a triumphal entry into the city. He did not ask for a horse. Now you see people, you know, riding on a big old horse, you know, you think, well, now this is the king. This is somebody who's going to be able to take care of us. He didn't ride in on a horse. In fact, we read in our passage there that it says that the prophets say he's going to come meek and sitting on an ass, the coat of the foal of an ass. Now, wait a minute. See, the horse is a symbol of war. Horse is a symbol of the strength of the flesh. But wait a minute. We don't fight our way into the city of God. We don't work our way into the city of God. See, there's a lot of folks who's trying to struggle. I'm working hard. I'm trying all I can. I'm doing the best I can to get there. You're never going to get there. You don't go in on a horse. You don't go in fighting like tooth and nails and like a conquering king. We do not wrangle to get into the city of God. We are not to trust horses or accumulate horses. The Bible says no. So the whole point, the whole picture there is that's a fight. We're not trusting in the strength of the flesh. He says we're going to go in on a donkey. And you know the other word. I'll try not to say that one. Okay, but we're going to go in on a donkey. Now that word there means an animal under the yoke, an animal that's inferior. An animal that is there for servitude. An animal there that has an obligation. The donkey is the work. You know, you go over to Lancashire and you'll see them a lot of times plowing with mules. They're heavy. They do a lot of work. You're not going to run real fast on a mule. You know, you don't usually go into battle on a mule. It does the work. It's the labor. It's the labor. The donkey represents the law. The yoke and the obligation to have perfection, which we'll never have. Oh, it's good to work, but work's not going to get us into the city of God. The donkey, it labors, it struggles. And so many people have tried and said, you know what, I'm going to get it right. One of the things that breaks my heart is when I hear somebody say, I'll be back to church as soon as I get everything together. Once everything starts working together, I'll be back. Because you think you can get it back. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. You come back and throw yourself at His mercy, you'd be surprised what God will do. Now, I'm not saying that He hasn't put some things in your heart that you need to fix. That very well may be true. But He's going to be the fixer. The donkey is the law. And it says, and a colt is tied with her. A colt, a filly, a foal. A young donkey, which came from the other donkey, if you will. A new donkey, untried, unproven. It's an interesting fact that in those days, the colt was a symbol of peace and victory. Well, how is that? You see, when a conqueror had come in and really had basically put the rest of the city on its knees and took over completely, he didn't ride in on a horse to intimidate them. He rode in on a donkey and said, listen, it's all done. I don't need to be afraid of this. I don't need to be afraid of you. Conquering kings would ride in the conquered city on a colt to show that the victory was so complete that he didn't need to come in a beast of war like a horse to intimidate his opponents, but on a beast that is meek. Because of all the fighting was over, the victory is won. See, when Jesus goes into the city, he's going as the conquering king. The victory's already done. There's no more need for any battle. Listen, Jesus, he came, the conquering king come moseying in like a hot shot, as if he was so tough that he didn't need to sweat it. And this showed that all the work was done and the victory is complete, finished. Jesus cried on the cross, "It is finished." Christ finished the work. Victory has been won. And there are no more battles to be fought for our salvation. There's no more battles to be fought to get us into the city of God. The king has finished the job. And he's riding on in on a colt. Second thing I want you to think. This is not the usual way we would attempt to get to the city of God. He says he's going to be on a colt whereon never man sat. Interesting. See, the colt was new, having never known the burden and the bondage of works. It had never worked a day in its life. It had done nothing to earn its keep. It knew no burden. This form of transportation, this colt being brand new and never tried before, is not comfortable. Why would we want an animal that had never been used, tried, or broken in, if you will? Is it safe? Will it even get us there? You would think he would be wild and unstable and untrustworthy because he had not been tried. And listen, we get a little fearful trying to trust grace. It's unknown to us, it's unseen, it's unproven. Sometimes we'd rather stick with what we think is tried and true religion and the works of the flesh. We trust what we have known and what we can see, even though it cannot get us to where we need to go. That's why so many have a difficult time trusting grace. It seems so new. It seems untried. Everybody thinks that you have to do something of some kind, some work, and do some good so we can be rewarded with heaven. We have that mindset. Listen, I remember when Jed and I grew up in a church that sprinkled babies. You know that's never found in the Bible? But I grew up there, and I was a good little Methodist boy. You do what you're supposed to do. And I liked being in church, and I wanted to do what was right. And I remember when our oldest son came to a point, he was born, and it was kind of the time when you always get them christened. And I was still a member of the church. No, we had moved. Yeah, we had already moved. We were going to a good church. That's right. But that time came, and I felt like I should get my baby christened. Why? Because it's what you do. But it's not in the Bible. Anyone who ever got baptized, which by the way means to immerse, it was always after they had made a decision. And babies can't do that. And I can't get saved for them. I can't make their decision for them. I can make the decision that I'm going to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but they're the ones going to have to make the final decision to receive Christ. Now, fact is, that was part of the old way, and it felt bad not to do it. And I almost felt like I was a bad parent. I was neglecting. Don't you love your child? But wait a minute, he's not saved by water. You're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not trying to be mean here because some of you may be in the same circumstances, but the fact is, we don't work our way to heaven. But sometimes we'd rather stick with what we know than grace. How do you touch grace? You know, how do you grab a hold of that? Man, if I could come up with some kind of thing that's a symbol that I can hold on to and touch and feel, then I'd feel okay, but I can't. Well, how do you handle grace? It's like going out into the unknown. That old bird, now listen, that old donkey had done a lot of work, and I'm sure folks had ridden on everything else. It was fine. But that one had never even had anybody on his back. Is it going to work? Well, it works when Jesus gets on it. Listen, somehow we think we're going to be rewarded with heaven. Eternal life, watch me now, eternal life is not a reward. There may be rewards that we will enjoy during our eternal life by what we've done with our life, but eternal life is not a reward. Eternal life can only be a gift. Because there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, please don't leave here this morning without knowing that and getting that squared away. It's a gift. Yeah, but you don't know it. God knows everything. When He died and paid for your sins, He knew it all. He knew me, yet He loved me. It's difficult to change sometimes. The law was a burden which no man could bear. It was right and just, and without it, we would never appreciate the mercy and the grace of God. Yet we cannot go into the city of God riding on the law. We must ride the colt of grace. Grace doesn't bear the burden of the law. Grace brings Jesus to us. Let me say that again. Grace is not that old one that bears the burden of the law. Grace is the one that brings Jesus to us. We will not ride into the city of God on the law, the beast of burden. No one can. The law justifies no man. It only exposes our sin and proves that we are sinners. Go back and read Romans 3, 19 through 31 sometime this week. So this is not the usual way. Seems kind of silly. Let me give you number three. Go take your ride to get to the city of God. Jesus said so. I like this part. Go take your ride. Jesus said that you're going to find a donkey and a colt with it. Loose them. Never man said. And he says, loose them and bring them hither unto me. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose them? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him thither. And so the disciples that were sent went their way as Jesus commanded them. By faith they went as they were commanded. They did what they were asked to do. By faith we need to do what we've been commanded to do. But he says, listen, if they give you any problem, tell them Jesus sent you. Often when I'm talking to someone, maybe sometimes the first time I've had a chance to sit down and chat with them, one of the questions I'll ask is, do you know for sure if you died to go to heaven? And then usually the next question, if it wasn't the first question, is, if you knocked on the gates of heaven, and they ask you why they should let you in the door, what's your ticket inside the door? You stand, I know it doesn't happen this way, but you stand at the door of heaven and you knock on those pearly gates and they say, well, you're a sinner. Why in the world should we let you in? What's your answer? Jesus sent me. Jesus said I could. That's what it was. Jesus said I could. It's His coat. He owns it all. He said I can. He says, you come into that, you come into eternal life because Jesus said I can. So listen. By faith they went as they were commanded that they, and by they that seek what the Lord promises shall find it. John 6:28 says, then say they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered, he says, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. But this isn't the way it's usually done. those people weren't going to talk to me. How's this going to work? Doesn't matter. This is what Jesus said to do. Number four, your ride sits at a place where two ways meet. I believe it's in Mark, maybe it's in Luke there. It says, and they found the ass and the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways meet. I think here again we have the picture of the Old Testament, the New Testament. We have works of the flesh. We have the free gift of grace. We have a choice. There's two ways meet. We do not need grace without the law. Without the law, there's no transgression. Without grace, there's no life or salvation. So at the entrance of a place where two paths come together, it's at a fork in the road. This is the time of a new beginning. They had seen the works of the law for centuries. The law had been their schoolmaster, teacher. They have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And now he was offering a new way. This was the way of grace and not the way of works. And some of us, whether you've been coming to church a long time or not, there are some folks who may still be standing at the fork in the road. I've been sitting there listening to grace, but they remember the works. And they got to make a decision. You need to make a decision, or you're going to keep trying to make your way into heaven by attempting to keep a law that you cannot keep. Or are you going to choose the way of grace and ride into the city of God with Jesus? It's your choice. And they lose him. They made a choice. Number five, I want to see your authority to have a ride into heaven. I want you to see your authority. What gives us the right? What gives us the right to take the colt? When you think about it, it's like go in and steal it. Jesus said, you're going to walk in town, when you get just inside of town there, you're going to find a donkey and a colt right there, take it. You see what he's saying? This isn't right. This just isn't right. You need to pay for what you're going to take. But he says, if anybody questions why you're taking, you just tell them Jesus sent you. It's all right. Listen, I've talked to folks when I've been trying to lead them to the Lord, and I get to the point, and we're talking, and the person will say, yeah, but it's not right. I shouldn't just take salvation. You got to pay it back. You can't. The Lord says you got salvation. Take it. But it's not right. No, it's not right. It's not right. But Jesus got it all paid for. It's all done. It's all cared for. To not take is almost a slap in his face. He says, go and take it. We have the authority. What gives us the right? Jesus does. The verse says this, and as they were loosing the colt, certain of them that were, watch, were the owners, stood there and said unto them, what do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, the Lord hath need of them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. Now it's interesting. When it says, certain of them that were the owners, that word is kurios, which is the same word as the Lord, kurios, Christ. You go to the Lord, and he says, what business do you have here? We say, the Lord sent me. The Lord sent me. That's our authority. If God asks you why you should have a ride into heaven, what would you tell him? Well, I come in the name of my Savior, my Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus sent me. When you get to heaven's door, if someone asks you why they should let you in the door, you just tell them, the master said I could. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the one. He has the right. The Lord of peace freely gave them the coat of grace when they came in Jesus' name. For by grace are you saved through faith. Let me give you number six. We must recognize the law, but we have to ride on the coat. Recognize the law, but ride on the coat. It says, then he brought the ass and the coat to Jesus and cast their garments on them, and they set Jesus upon the coat. Now watch. I cannot bypass the law. Nobody can. Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And when we meet Jesus, we meet him both in the shadow of the law, but also in the light of the grace. We stand before the Lord in full view of the law, but resting fully on grace. The law brought forth the grace. The donkey, the old donkey, gave birth to the colt. The reason God has shown us his grace is because it comes by way of the law. He showed us the law. Listen, notice that they put Jesus on the colt. Mere faith in the colt will not do it. Our faith must be placed in Jesus, who's able to guide the colt. See, some folks have faith. They say, well, I have faith. What they have is faith in some wild idea or another. Or they have faith in faith. You know you're going to heaven? Yes, sure, I believe. What do you believe? Well, I believe. I have faith. Faith in what? Faith in what? Your faith is only good as the object of your faith. Your faith must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being saved by grace may seem like a wild idea, but with Jesus, nothing is impossible. It's a wild, not a wild colt, but listen, he's the one. Let me give you another one. We must place all that we are and have been on the colt, on grace. So what happened? Disciples cast their garments upon the coat of grace, which carried Jesus into the heart of the city. The word garment there means your dress, your attire, what we put on. Garments kind of represent who we are. I was looking for a young fellow around here, but I said, come up here a second. Yeah, come on up here. Yeah, that's right. Come on up here. Yeah, you. Yeah, come on up here. Yes, sir. Come up here a second. All right. Stand right there. All right, here we go. Put that on. Yeah. Not too bad. You're going to have to do a little bit to fill this part out here. Listen, you know, watch. When I was your age, that's about what my hair looked like. It's about that color. Okay. Turn around. Yeah, that's about what my color. You know, again, you might mistake him for me. What do you think? Why? Because he's wearing what I wear. What we wear represents who we are. When folks come in here to clean the church, they wear certain things. When people come to church, they wear certain things. And you kind of represents who they are. I remember when my dad, when I was young, about second grade, my dad owned a fuel company, and he would clean furnaces and all this kind of stuff, and they sold coal, and they shoveled coal, and my dad would come home, and he'd just be filthy. And the fact is, his work clothes just looked different than everybody else's clothes. So he didn't wash his clothes with anybody else because of his clothes. And so who he is, when you took his clothes, you could just see, this is Dad's clothes. In fact, to tell you the truth, it gets so hard, and the old oil off the coal and stuff, old coal oil and stuff, his pillow at night. You could see which pillow was Mom's and which pillow was Dad's. Because what the old world, the old earth has put on us and what we have collected, so to speak, what the Lord has put on, thank you, sir, and we have put on and over the years. Now, this is what they did. They took their clothes, who they are, and put it on the colt. Take it in Jesus. Take it. By grace are you saved through faith. They took everything that they are and they put it on the colt. And Jesus got on the colt. And what they were, not that we deserve it, but what they were, rode right into the city of God. Why? Because it went in with Jesus. That's why. And he's riding into town with all their clothes, the old dirty clothes, the fisherman's clothes. Everybody hailed him as king. And they welcomed them all. Because it's Christ. All of this is a picture of what Christ will do. Verse 4 says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, fear not, ye daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, sitting upon an ass, in a coat of a foal of an ass. See, Jesus is not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And we go into the city of God on grace. We don't leave the law behind us. The law, listen, the donkey went in there with it. Don't throw the law out. It was all true. But we're not going to get in because of the law. We're getting in because of the untried grace. Now there's a place where two ways meet. We have either been at that place or we are at that place right now. Are you going to take the old way of working in the flesh or the new untried way of faith in the power of God? Working in the flesh seems safe, but riding in the power of God brings glory to Him. We need to stop working up religion and let God take control of us and the job at hand. We need to decide which road we're going to take. The old donkey was the works. Works are good, but works don't carry us into the city. Grace does. We don't need to fight a battle. A battle's already won. And we don't need an old war horse. And flesh isn't going to save us. Listen, there's no king saved by the multitude of my host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength, and horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him because he hath trusted in his holy name. Let the mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Jesus has already won the victory. He rides the colt into the city of God. And why are we still trying to work our way into heaven? It won't do. It cannot carry us through. Just throw yourself, all that you are, on the back of the colt and ride on in. And if the owner questions when you go to take this grace, you just tell the owner, tell God, that is Jesus the Lord has sent me and given me permission to have it for his glory. And if you're going to get into the city of kingdom of God and you're not going in on the old donkey, you're going to have to take who you are, the dirty sinner that you've been wearing and laying on the colt who has been being ridden by the conquering king, and ride in with him. You see, Jesus is going to be riding into the city of God, that city where peace flows, the place of restitution, the place of restoration, the place of reward. And while we will put all of our burdens on the colt by the grace of God and ride in. Ride the colt. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for doing a work in us here this morning. We thank you for the wonderful gift you've given us. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll meet with us these next few moments. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to feet. The piano organ's going to play as soon as they get ready. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. The Lord has spoken to your heart. You may be here this morning. Do you know for sure if you died to go to heaven? Do you know that for sure without a shadow of a doubt? If you don't know that for sure, you need to come. We'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. If you're here this morning and you want to be baptized or join the church, now's the time to come. Would you come? Just step out and